Welcome to Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I am your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. I'm one of the staff vets here at Pipestone. I'm one of the owners of Pipestone Holdings, and I get the pleasure of hosting the podcast called Swine Time every few weeks with my producer, Abby, and a guest. And the guest today is Tad Wolber. Tad knows all things about building sow barns, and I'll just stop talking about Tad here and let him introduce himself.
Well, thank you. I don't know about all things about building, but appreciate that. I'm Tad Wolber. I'm the head of construction for Pipestone now. Been with Pipestone about 24 years, and a little summary. Started with Pipestone as the maintenance technician when there was only six Pipestone farms, I think is what it was back in 1997. So at that time they were just starting Dakota and Buttercup, and the expansion really took place right after that. So shortly after that, moved to the maintenance department and did maintenance for 15 years until we had about 7-8 different guys, and then brought in another as the construction department increased, mm-hmm. and moved over to the construction side. So been doing that pretty much full time has been the basis since probably 2015.
It's probably worth clarifying something when we're talking about sow farms. We're talking about our Pipestone management sow farms. Tad's been heavily involved in constructing those, so when we're talking about sow farms, it's those. And to describe a little bit what those are, if you aren't familiar, it's the sow farms that are owned by groups of producers out there that generally raise the finishing pigs, but use us or rely on us to make the pigs for them, to manage those units. They own the barns, we manage the barns. They own the facilities, the herd in them, and we do the day-to-day work of making the weaned pigs go out the door every day to those producers so they can raise them. Fair enough. That's a good way to describe it, I think. So you came in right after some of the initial barns were built doing maintenance. What was the first barn that you really got your teeth sunk into? What year was that when you said, we're going to build a new barn? Let's do this in the way we want to this time.
The first new barn, we'll see. The first sow farm operation I came into building would have been Fox Run. I believe that was 2012, 2013, right there, I believe, was Fox Run.
Okay.
And that was working directly with Willie Langholtz at the time.
Yeah.
Willie had done most all the construction. Prior to that, the 5 years prior, Paul Ramsey and myself started taking the GDU construction. Mm-hmm. Because we had enough sow farms going, it was more than what one person was going to handle.
Yeah.
So Willie was doing the sow farms. Paul and I took the GDUs from about, I'd say that was the 2010 to 2013 area.
Yeah.
Then I started coming in on Fox Run and Jackrabbit that 2013, 2012.
Uh-huh.
And then I think worked through a number of different farms on that process. Of course, that's about the time we started bumping some China items. So then Willie was gone more. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped on to the brand new sow farms at that time. So
okay.
I took Goose Lake renovation over as Willie was spending more time in China at that time.
Okay. So for our listeners, Tad's going through different names of farms, but you know, we started out with a few farms close to Pipestone, and then those needed some maintenance. He's involved in that. But then he's mentioning Willie Langholtz. Willie Langholtz built our sow farms, involved in a lot of stuff we did for quite a while, died 5-6 years ago of cancer or something like that now. And following Willie's death, you were slotted as the guy that's going to build new sow farms now.
Yeah, Willie was already in partial retirement. That's right. And he was doing China, so I had taken over the U.S., the domestic construction by that time, and of course then the filtration.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I got a little engaged into the filtration overseas and another whole expansion process we would talk about on the construction side. But then Goose Lake was probably the first full farm we did, and then immediately following that was a pretty heavy dose of new sow farms. That was the Cougar Run Fire Rebuild, that was Mustang Pass, Big Sioux, Thunder Ridge, all happened 2016, 2017.
Sure.
All of those, and then, of course, it's just continued from there.
Yeah, so you're naming a bunch of farms that our listeners may know or may not know, but they're different sow farms.
That's correct.
And then more recently, it's like, all right, we have a steady trajectory of doing, putting good farms in good spots with great shareholder groups, and it's less remodels and more, let's build this right thing to either replace tire units somewhere else or some growth as well, net growth, but basically, you're looking at beautiful new barns. Everything I see you've done in the last few years has been these incredible barns. these great locations that are seem like they're done just right. Whereas the other ones, if I go back 10 years ago, I was like, why did we do it that way? Why was this, or this remodel ends up being something that feels a little clumsy. But anyway, it's fun to see the barns you build now because they're like an artist's version of what a barn should be almost. Like, this is perfect. I drove around a farm called Bobcat when I first started working there, and I think I wept the first time I drove around it because I thought, this barn is so beautiful. I can't believe this is a barn. It's just like everything was done right.
Very, very neat to hear you say that.
Too. Yeah. No, I literally teared up because I thought, I get to be the vet here and look at this crew in this barn. So, anyway, that's been fun to see that because it feels very good now. So, you've gone over your history a little bit and named a bunch of names of barns that people may or may not know, but as we progress forward to building these good barns, it'd be interesting to hear how you would say the barns have changed from concepts of what we did 10 years ago or 15 years ago versus what we do now, whether it's the materials or size or whatever. Just once you go into some of that, I can
go into dulling detail, I think, of how it's really changed over the years. But it's truly amazing. You're exactly right. The progression of the build, and really it drives from production, right? That's really where it comes from. Efficiency of production, efficiency of cost per space, cost per animal. Everything that we do is all about that efficiency and that overall cost of production. Well, looking at the original barns spread out, which we thought, of course, that's a lot of years ago. That's 94 to 96, where you had these what we call H-styled barns, mm-hmm. or four barns, different farrowing, different G-barn, and you could run them separately or together. Started getting everything together. Well, as soon as you started doing that, certainly more efficient to compact the barns down. Mm-hmm. So we started getting into longer barns or more compact two barns where it's a farrowing and a gestation. And of course, we went through the phase of adding the gilt developers on, so you had control of your stock coming in. All the things done for that efficiency. Well, what's changed probably the biggest? It's been most exciting for me over the last 5 to 8 years is this push from production, not just the cost side, but the efficiency side. Measuring footsteps, you know, never thought I'd be challenged in that regard, right? Our production team comes back, which was I'm so impressed with, right? From our supervisors to our workers in the farm to the director himself, it's about the efficiency of people. We measure the footsteps, design of buildings for where the walkways are, for where the office sits, for how the buildings tie together. Animal movement, people movement. Yeah. Equally important. It's not just, you know, the animal. It's the people and how we move them around. So
yeah. So we did the Dry Lake open house, whatever, a month ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we did the tour afterwards, and it was where you and all of our production guys reviewed every little thing. All right, this gating is this high, this alley is this wide. And it was impressive how dialed in you were on that, and everybody else was too. And they said, hey, this alley, look at it. It's not quite lined up with the other alley, and it might interrupt some big floor people flow. Or this step through to go into the pen gestation, like it should be an inch higher, but then that hits, if a guy's kind of tubby, it might hit his belly, it might hit the, or the sows can jump over it. Like, it is completely dialed in on exactly an inch high, low, wider, narrower, straight, angled. It's fun to see how tuned in that is on what it should be. So, yeah, one thing that also strikes me also when you comment on this is the materials, because these barns today aren't cheaper built than they were. I'm sure inflation and everything else.
Right.
The concrete walls go higher than they did when I saw them built 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. How do you make a decision to go to a more expensive barn versus what a cheaper one was? What drives you to that?
Very heavily analyzed. It really is. Some of the contractors probably get very tired of it, right? But just about every farm we build, and it doesn't matter if it's just a month later, or bid a month later, there are options in every farm. And that option is derived to say, is the cost worth it, right? Mm-hmm. Using a 1 foot concrete stem wall just to get the building off of the concrete so it doesn't rot, like some of the originals did, right? Yep. To a 4 foot concrete stem wall, which protects the wall itself from ever having big contact or wearing out. Mm-hmm. So it's a longevity thing. Well, there's a cost. There's always a cost, right? Very few times do you save the money by doing something that's better. So you really try to get it out of that efficiency from design, but it's cost perspective. It really is. For the concrete stem walls to go from a high number to a taller wall to a shorter wall, well, you know, maybe it's $6,000 per barn, right? Well, pretty small cost to say instead of wearing out, which we know, that's one of the beauties of Pipestone too. That drives me a different route, but We have barns that are old enough, we've seen them from now 30 years old or 25 years old. We can see what happens. Spending the years in maintenance that I did, I understand what's going to break first, what wears out first, what rots away first, and try to change those things. Well, as stated, they come at a cost, but you weigh it out. 5 years, you're going to start wearing the glass board off of the walls. Okay, well, you turn that to concrete, you won't do that. How much does it cost to replace? Well, you have to do it every 10 years, and it's going to cost you $12,000. Well, $6,000 concrete walls, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of analytical design that's been done. And our, like I said, our leadership from from top down really asks those questions, and they pound that all the time, right? Where does it go?
We're in the GDUs in Dry Lake, and somebody said, you got too many lights. You were frivolous in your expenditures on... on the LEDs in here. And then after some talk, I think you say, hey, guys, this boils down to like a couple $1,000s or something difference, or not even that. It was micro difference in the whole construction cost of the thing. And people were getting hung up on it. Like, it's frame it up in perspective of this related to this and the bigger scheme of things. Like, this is, we got a lot of nice light for very little money.
Yeah,
don't complain about it.
That's very real. Very real. You know, and then that's one of the things is the sites get bigger, right? They get more expensive. And when you're talking a $15 million facility, $1,000 for the lighting that you want is a pretty small no.
And the work there daily is you go in there, going into a dark barn versus going to these new barns, you think, grief, this isn't even close to the same.
Yeah.
Abby and I were filming a How to Post a Sell video one time. Remember being in that dungeon of that barn? I won't say which barn it is. But we had to hang little trouble lights up just for extra lighting in a pen
that's
already lit.
That's production. See, that's what I love. That's Pipestone being willing to talk and willing to share and willing to listen. I mean, that's one of the key points, right? Are you willing to listen? And then to take that change. You know, when production comes back and says, I can't read tattoos on the sows in the stalls. That's what I remember the first in those gestation barns, because it was tough. Well, now there's a row of lights over every row of sows, every 12 feet. It creates a specification, right? Pipestone has gone from a one-page spec sheet that had 30 items on it that said we want good walls and we want good insulation and we want a barn that's functional to now I think there's I don't know, I think 100 and some pages of specifications now. So it just it never stops improving as that comes back. So also a benefit of building so many farms, right?
Yeah.
You can see the difference between them and what happens. I could even go to saying being involved in other countries, there are specifications for lighting, space on animals in other countries. Well, finding the middle, understanding what they do versus what we do. Mm-hmm. It's some pretty neat things because, for example, Brazil has a very much higher lighting specification than we have.
They, by law?
By law. It's required. They have to have so much more light.
For the
so that's for the animal.
For the animals of the people.
Yeah. The animals, as I understand.
Oh, okay.
Treatment of the animals. So it's just some neat little things, right? But you can take it back and go, geez, we're only at, you know, 75% of that requirement, but we're 75% more than what's being done in other places.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
But. Yeah. So the size of the farms. What was the average South Farm size that was being built 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and now?
Those were all 3,000s 20 years ago. I mean, predominantly. And that was a big farm, right?
And it was started with those 1,500s,
and then we went those 1,500s on the side, right? So it was just doubled up, so you had more animals. And so I would say that's the 20 years ago version, held for quite a while. And then it started shifting as really what drove it was the ability to build bigger. Right? The bigger you can go, the more you can put into a quicker space.
Did engineering get better, or did we just get more confidence in being
I think agriculture engineering, agriculture building design improved that much, that rapidly. For example, we were talking about a farm that I helped swing the trusses on, the first 80-foot wide gestation barn, right?
Big deal.
And that's a big deal. That was huge, going from a 60 to an 80. Well, look what you just did, right? You just got that 20% more space in that same length, right?
Yeah. How wide are they now, the gamble roof barns we've got on?
Yeah, so, and that's where I would go is that we've never stopped pushing the envelope, right? And so it went to the 80 wides, then to 100 wides, and of course they have these triple wide finishers that we talk about, but now our gestation sow farms, the ones we're building for 2022, are 212 feet wide.
With two slopes, one on each side.
One on each side, that's it. Now it's not even the gambrel anymore. We've gone to the what they would call, I would call a flat roof.
Yeah.
Predominantly flat. Again, more things we've learned over time. It never ends. Every year you're going to learn, but the gambrel up north catches snow. It becomes a snow load concern. Down south, works great. You don't have the snow, and when it does, it melts off, right? Yeah. So big differences that way where we've seen this flat roof design or the three-quarter.
It's got a little grade to it.
Three-quarter 12, so it's not even a 1/12 pitch. It's a 0.7512 really? Pitch on that roof, so it's just about flat. But it works great. Stays clean. It's like your road on the highway, right? It just blows across.
That's because it's so flat.
Yeah, so flat, so it doesn't build up. So it's been a neat design that way. But because of that, as stated, we just keep getting wider, and we're really pushing it to, we're about 110 feet of clear span on a side now. Hmm. We're up to 212 to 218 wide overall. So really large barns, not taking the length that they used to. That saves footsteps for both the animal and the people. Yeah. Again, there comes your efficiency that we talk about. The more we can do this, the more things it drives.
So, 3,000, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, what was it?
10 years ago, we were still probably three, starting to push into those fives, right?
Right.
That's where the fives started. About the 2012 area, I'd say, 2010, 2012. Some people were doing it. That's when we started. We started in these fives. We created, you may remember or not, but we joke about the 5416, right? That was Mustang, that was Fox, then Jack, then Big Sue. 5416 was the number of sows we had. That was going to be the end barn. We'd make them all the same from there ever
after. That was max efficiency.
Yep. Never was one ever the same, even though, and then of course it changed. But now, over the last 10 years, 6,000 has been very heavy predominant. That's been a good farm, a good flow, works very well in design and efficiency and people and all that. These last 2-3 years, here come the 10,000s, right? Here come the 10s. We have three of those now. We have the Dillbrook, Morgan Hill, and Banner sites.
Yeah.
All at the 10s. Of course, designing more and more of those, right? We have a couple of new designs that are pushing that 12,000. So. Yeah. That's where we're at today. So that's a big change, right? It's doubled and now doubled again.
Yeah.
Just in almost a 10-year span, 20-year span.
You should have a bean counter in here to kind of talk about how the efficiency is reflected. You know, like, is it in the cost per pig? Basically, it's like as the farms go up and interest rates stay low, but these big farms, they cost more. The quality's gone up, everything's gone up. But the fact that you can push a lot more pigs out with less crew per pig, less everything per pig, less transportation dollars per pig.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone up to 10,000, which would be high efficiency sow farm.
Right.
Then it makes that balance out where you still get a decent cost on your pig, despite brand new barn construction and higher construction, better quality barn that's going up.
I think that's been the big challenge, right, is to keep that cost per pig the same.
Yeah.
Even though you're building new and everything, and that's part of it, right? The bigger farm, as you talk about, that's that efficiency. But, of course, these last 2 years, 2020, 2021, that's where it's really been a big change. Instead of that 2% year over year, right? Farm after farm, 2% just seems to be year after year.
2% construction cost.
Yeah, increase year after year. Yeah, I think pretty typical, and that's more our finance team that does that far better than I. But that's been typical while 2020, 2021 certainly blew that up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's 5 or 8% change, and that's where if it's going to hold there, that'll be tough. That certainly creates a strain on being able to build as efficiently as we did. So
with 2021, with all the weird construction cost things that happened there, and simply you'd say, well, everything went up, but really some things probably went up more than others at different times. And mm-hmm. Did we build barns differently in 22 than we would have built 2 years ago for the type of materials? Like, hey, we're using more concrete because we're lower opposite of that?
Not necessarily. Now, some things that drive it, or we certainly do try to look at, is just what you said, type of material that we build. In other countries, wood's not prevalent, right? You just don't get the wood that we have here, so we build steel buildings. Hmm. And that's what they are. That's how it's always been, because you can't get the wood the same way that we can in the U.S., very abundant. We do push that as an alternative, or look at it, I should say, again, that option, doing a steel versus wood constructed building. We look at the concrete, doing concrete poured walls versus concrete precast walls.
Yeah.
All of that and all the aspects. And 2022 is going to be a big drive that way, looking at the different realms, especially with the spike in wood. Mm-hmm. Right? That jumped, dropped a little bit, goes back up. Of course, as we all know, it just seems like everything follows, and steel went up when all of a sudden steel was going to be a little more efficient. And then steel followed it by the time we actually got to a farm that we're bidding. So But we do. We look at that, and that will continue to be looked at. We certainly look at the opportunities. I think the biggest thing we always try to find is really the efficiency in the equipment, in the layout, in the actual square footage. That's been our biggest one. That as a construction team, that's where we try to look at hard. And I got a great group of people that are trying to analyze that all the time, right? And it's a cost per square foot is really where I always drive my barns. You know, production people in our cell farm team, it's all about cost per space, right? For the whole building, I look at cost per square foot because ultimately, to me, that's the easiest way for me to analyze when I can make my cost per square foot more efficient for the amount of sows I have in there. So every sow, you know, what kind of square footage is pig space versus wasted space?
Yeah.
And that's where we've probably changed the last 4 years more than anything to really pick up efficiency in usage of space, even as we're pushed into the pen gestation or the next level of the Prop 12. It's efficiency of using how you design your pens can really make a big difference.
So if you go back 20 years ago, a regular stall barn, conventional stuff that now is a lot of it's being remodeled, but the classic 20 year ago stall barn, what was the cost per sow space then, ballpark, versus now with different differences of having filters, being more concrete, more steel, more pen gestation, more space allowance? Right. What's that cost?
Now, you're probably going back far enough where I don't know enough of that, right? I wasn't heavily involved into the beginning back then, but of course you weren't filtered. That was a big thing. We say today you can look at $300 to $400 a sow space just for filtration.
That's the filtration cost.
Well, that's just the filtration cost alone, you know. And I would say that the 10 years ago, the cost per sow space. See, I don't even look at that, and I forgot to look that up because I know what kind of cost a sow space now. But then I did. But when we were talking square footage, right, cost per square foot to build a building, which you see houses cost, you know, $55 a square foot on the west side, you know, that type of thing. Well, we did a lot of building back then in the $30 to $40 a square foot that I remember 10 years ago, or the first GDUs. And of course, they're more expensive. The smaller they are, the more they cost.
Yeah.
The bigger they are, your square footage price goes down. Maybe not necessarily for your house, but in a big farm. But anyway, as we've gone bigger, your cost per square foot, you can be more efficient. But today, well, I would even say 2019, right before we ran into our issues, that was probably in that $50 to $55 a square foot. So, you know, again, that would correlate probably to that 2% increase every year after year. And just in these last 2 years, where I'd say we're at right now is we're probably $85 to $90 a square foot just in this last 2 years. And so, that's a big jump.
Not quite double.
Well, yeah, in fact, but I'm just looking at 2019 to now.
Yeah.
That's a big jump. There's no jump took place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you see all of a sudden this change has happened.
Yeah. You know, the numbers, I was thinking, it cost $1,000, $1,200. You know, earlier on, it was closer to $1,000 a sow.
Yeah, I think you're right. $1,200, you would say that a little earlier on.
The new numbers, filtered and steel and concrete and everything else, it's more like mid-2000s, isn't it?
Well, that would have been 2019 area.
Yeah,
so it's breaking the 3,000. It's over 3. And it depends, of course, on different aspects of what you're building and doing, but it's over $3,000 of space.
Yeah, so if you look at that, that's huge, tripling almost over the couple decades.
That's tripling, right.
And then in the pig costs going out, it's relatively similar. And because, way more efficient. And also, you get good efficiency on your cost per pig when you have great production, which you can get with high health and these filtered barns and everything else, where all of a sudden it works. You got a better pig in a brand new barn for roughly the same money as you do on your old worn-out barn.
Right.
It's impressive that you can get that kind of a
it's very neat to do that, and that's where it's every edge you get, right, which ties into the, you know, the whole stone and all of those opportunities to continue to further integrate that way.
What innovations have you got that you've plugged into recent barns? Like, hey, we're doing this now. I can think of a few, but what do you got?
Well, innovations, that's been amazing, and that's another thing that I smile as I think over the last 10 years of what's changed, right? And so much of it, again, the Pipestone team, the way the interaction is now, I've been so blessed to be part of it, right? Even from you, from a vet's perspective to a production member's perspective to the, to the finance perspective, to change in design, we need better airflow. We need more air for less money. We need, you know, the different things that we need. But the as we have filtered, and that's probably been the biggest thing I've been involved in, right, is filtered farms. That's, for lack of better words, that's kind of my expertise. It really is. How we stop backdraft and how we get what we need. And those changes from the pit ventilation to creating the what we call our fan bank wall to the different designs of how we pull air out of the pit, which helped more manure storage for capacity, mm-hmm. big change there. Nobody's, you know, that was pretty incredible to me. But that all derived out of other people's ideas or requests, or Marty saying, we got to have deeper pits. Well, that's a huge cost, right? Well, if we could pull the air off the top of the pit instead of off the side of the pit, you can hold more manure and gain some space without costing any more money.
Yeah.
Some of those changes is that's the really neat thing I see, from the ventilation of the filtration, backdraft improvements, to now the latest innovation would be the energy efficiencies, right? Really where we're pushing on energy efficiency in the fans that are all variable speed direct drive fans. They have the ability to ramp up to LED lighting, efficiency of our water use, what we do with that. It's just, that's been incredible steps that we have changed over the years.
Yeah, it all does tie together with end up the endpoint being Holstone, a lot of it, because a lot of the guys would be Holstone members as well. And okay, I'm part owner of a Sow unit, and that Sow unit now gets to present its efficiency data as part of a green initiative or something that's going to be adding value along the way to those pigs. So, yeah, besides just being more efficient, it presents a better green story if you're going to produce pigs that are coming out of the unit like that.
Very much.
Is that right?
I would agree. This energy efficiency and being stewards of our, not only our land, of everything that we do is a great part of it. And that's all for the owners ultimately, right? The owners own all of this. And that's where I just think I've been blessed to be in Pipestone and have that opportunity to help the owners, but through our production facilities that want to improve and want to do it better.
So that's probably a good spot to kind of wrap it up, because you mentioned the owners and you're excited about what you do, which is build farms. What do you build farms for? Well, this great production team, you're always one step removed from the folks that own the barn, because it's Troy and Barry and the other folks that are involved on the production side dictating we need this or this or this. But your passion with building them the best farm for these purposes and these reasons is going to lay directly at the feet of the producers needing a great, long-term, sustainable product. The barn. That's going to make a lot of nice pigs for a lot of years.
Agreed.
And not need a lot of reinvestment and renovation early because the wall wore out or something. And it's going to make pigs efficiently because people got to walk less steps with less trailers going out and bigger loads that are more efficient. So, I don't know. I can only see positives on that. I think it's a great way to end this, because
I agree. Wonderful.
Our audience is going to have a lot of different kinds of people listening, but a lot of them are going to be shareholders. And so it's a nice, probably a good way for them to listen to the construction, the nascent idea laid inside of this whole thing, which what you get involved in, and then they get the final product. Okay, Dad, thank you very much for being
here.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks so much.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us, and invite you back to the next episode of Swing Time Podcast here at Pipestone. Thank you very much.
Swine Time Podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by Dr. Spencer Wayne with the Pipestone Veterinary Services, the podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.